Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to may have adult language and discuss adult themes not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
We
are live from my parents' basement. I probably should have left out that detail, but we're pretty open and honest on this show. And thank you guys for tuning in. Episode 162 of the Far End of the Bench podcast. Jimmy Pilato, Nico Bryant. We are here. We are ready to break down some of the things that we did. We went to an impromptu NBA game, and I know that that's not something that everybody is able to do. Plus, we got hockey to talk about, some wild storylines. As our friend Rel, which I don't know if he caught the live link that just went out, we got some big-time storylines to talk about when we talk about NHL, and it has nothing to do with the game of hockey, which is the wildest thing. Jimmy Pilato, Nico Bryant, here live on your Thursday evening. Thank you very much for tuning in. Nick, I know I just saw you last night, but it's weird. We don't get to see each other normally before we do the show. So that was a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me over at the Nuggets game, and I'm glad that I got to see a win in my first act. You know, that's my first actual Nuggets game, Nico. I know that probably bugs you. That probably grinds your gears, but I had a good time.
I wish it did, but it makes sense because, like I said, you're not the basketball guy on the show, and I do appreciate you appreciating greatness with myself, and I love getting to see the Nuggets get a big dub. 7-0 at home, haven't lost yet at home, so it's always fun walking to the Ball Arena, no matter who's it with, especially when I get to do it with a podcast host and getting a big time dub every single night. We walk in that building and leaving very happy is always a good feeling.
Yeah, right now you said you haven't lost seeing them this season, obviously, because you go to all the home games. Sunday you pulled double duty where you went to the Bronco game and then to the Nuggets game. There's been a ton of stuff going on. Before we get into all that, be sure to follow at FEOTB Pod if you don't already, all social media platforms. Be sure to subscribe to YouTube. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, leave a like on the video, comment, let us know what you think about it, everything like that. We will interact as much as we can. And it always helps us out. And also be sure to check out Variety Sports Network. We're proud to be a part of that network. And you see me every week on Talking the Gridiron. I occasionally make guest appearances on the Sunday Morning Tailgate. Nico, there's a double-double show talking about NBA. So if it works out at some point, I'm sure you're going to be on that one. But there's a ton of stuff coming out from VSN all across the country. It's not just Denver-centered. It's pretty much anything that you want. So check all those great things out. And, yeah, let's talk a little bit about the Nuggets game last night. So you dropped a bomb on me that we're no longer in the in-season tournament. I initially thought that I wasn't seeing a tournament game because it wasn't a Tuesday or a Friday. No, we're just out of the tournament, so that sucked. But
we don't have to deal with the bright blue court. That shit's gone. So
I kind of want to see it in person. I'm not gonna lie.
Jimmy, I'm gonna tell you right now. Like when I watched those games in person, I was like, I'm blinded. It's just so bad. We had black jerseys with a blue court and a yellow straight down the middle. Look, it's the Mickey Mouse fucking trophy. Like good for the teams that make it left because they can raise a banner if they want to or whatever. It's a little iffy if you want to raise a banner for this tournament, but it is funny. But look, we didn't want to win this. It's this team's 7-0 at home. That's all that matters, in my opinion. We've had some road struggles. That's because Jamal's been out, because AG hasn't been healthy, and but you have performances like you did Monday night against the Clippers, where you have Reggie Jackson and DeAndre Jordan combined for 50 points. Yes, you heard that correctly. Reggie Jackson, DeAndre Jordan combined for 50 plus points to beat the Los Angeles Clippers with Harden, Kawhi, Russell Westbrook, and Paul George all healthy. So, look, like I said, look, the in-season term is cute. It's cute. I don't want any part of it. I don't. I really don't. And I'm glad we're. And look, I like winning. Don't get me wrong. I like winning, Jimmy. I like winning. But I could get less than two fucks about that shit.
Well, I mean, there's a big contingency out here, and I'm sure, I mean, talking to you last night, I know that it's not going to go away. You think they're going to do away with the colorful courts, but it is generating a lot of buzz in a time where the NBA normally wouldn't have much. I mean, it's early season. There's not even that much juice going on for the NHL right now. Everybody's worried about what four teams are going to make the college football playoff, which we're going to have our conference championship picks coming up here in just a second when we talk college football. But people are interested, at least invested somewhat, in early season NBA. And I know now that I've been to your seats, I can confirm Nico's seats are next to people who know him by name. They saw that he was sitting there and went, "Oh, Nico, what's up?" And he was a diehard. There's a lot of diehards. There's a woman yelling at people for chanting MVP. I was like, am I watching a game at an arena, or am I watching a game at like the front living room of my house? Am I getting scolded by my grandmother? This is odd. I don't know if I like this, but it was awesome. It was a great atmosphere, and it makes sense why we're undefeated at home, because the city has rallied behind the Denver Nuggets. They're the most recent champion, and we don't sit until we score. I learned that last night. I didn't realize that was a thing. We don't sit until we score. And yeah, that was the other thing. I almost forgot, Nico. I almost forgot. Who picked who was going to score first?
You did, and I fucking went against you, and I knew I should.
I do not blame you for that.
Look, it was Jamal Murray's return game. Like, you can't hate me for just trying to throw in Jamal there, but I did not know that MPJ would drop 30 and hit 9 threes last night. So I was not expecting that. Okay, so you know what? I live and die, unfortunately, on that sword. But yeah, Jimmy did call the first basket, and I looked at him right as MPJ shot that. I was like, God damn, why did I not listen? It's always the bets you don't make.
I didn't know I was a ringer, but apparently I'm pretty good. I'm pretty decent at that. Let's look at the in-season bracket, see what some of the matchups are going to be. Is it single elimination or is it series?
I think it's single elimination.
I was going to say it has to be single elimination.
I don't know. There's no shot. This is a series, yeah.
All right. So Tuesday, is it next week? Yeah, next week. Tuesday, next week. We have the Lakers, who are the one seed in this tournament.
Raise that banner, Terrell. You want to raise that non-Mickey Mouse banner? Come on, baby. Get LeBron another ring. Let's go.
They're taking on the Suns, who are the four seed. I assume that the higher seed is going to be the one that hosts. Actually, since it's built into the schedule, I really don't know.
It's in Vegas,
so it doesn't matter.
There's no home court or anything.
If you didn't realize, I don't watch basketball very much, if at all. Same side of that. So the Western Conference, then we have the Kings and the Pelicans.
Kings won an absolute barn burner to win their division or whatever the hell they want to call it against the Warriors the other night, where they came back from like 10 down and ended up winning that ball game. And the Kings, like I said, started off cold, but have a pretty decent stretch going on right now. And that's what got them into this semifinals. So good for them.
Yeah. And over on the Eastern Conference side, we have Milwaukee as the one seed. They're playing against the Knicks. That game is also on Tuesday. The Kings and Pelicans, the game Monday night, by the way. And then the Pacers and the Celtics on the other side of the East at Monday at 7:30. Those times are Eastern. Of those eight teams, Nico, which one do you think – I'll pose it two ways. Which one do you think cares the most about winning this tournament? And who do you have the most faith in winning and actually getting the first of this, whatever?
I'll be honest with you. I'm not picking the Suns. I'm not picking the Lakers. Hell, I'm not fucking picking the Celtics. I think the two, three teams that have the most to play for in this that are left, in my opinion, are the Kings, who, let's be honest with ourselves, never won anything ever outside of the Western Conference Finals. They won championships way back when they were the Kansas City Royals, but they moved obviously to the Kings. And then you have the Knicks, who are looking for some sort of relevancy, getting back in. And then the Pacers, the highest scoring team in the NBA since I don't want to say the 2006-07 Suns, which were
– Yeah, you told me 160 or something?
They scored 150 or 160 points at a game in regulation this season. No defense, all offense. It's crazy. But, yeah, I would say one of those two teams wins it, because I don't think Boston cares that much. Fuck yeah, I don't think LeBron and AD care that much. I think they may say, oh, maybe fun to win it, but you have to think that paycheck that they're going to get, like, boys can get a Rolly, like you get a Rolex, wearing a Lamborghini, nice little present for yourself by winning this. I think there's some incentivization for these teams that haven't necessarily been to the playoffs and haven't had a ton of recent success. So I look at those three teams to come out. Dark horse probably the Suns, if their big three plays, which their big three has not played in one single game altogether yet. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm thinking if I'm going to root for a team, I'm going to root for the Knicks because I'm thinking about the video that we're going to get if they do win that tournament. And that would be awesome. That would give us content to talk about for weeks. Then, I don't know, if I'm going to think about it like sports-wise, I feel like New Orleans, they've always been there. Like, they're good. I remember watching them beat the Nuggets on Christmas Day a few times. So maybe they're the team, since nobody else I think is going to take it seriously. I agree with you. The teams that are actually in playoff contention could give two shits. This is going to be a shot where they get their young guys a chance to play. I think that the Pelicans are right on that cusp where they're not always a playoff team, but they're good enough and they want to prove something. And to them, I feel like this proves something to them.
Yeah, I know. I agree. With Zion healthy finally and a team that just got CJ McCollum back from that – I think it was punctured lung or something along those lines. It was not great, but I'm glad to see him back out on the court. You look at those two – look at that team from top to bottom. They're a team that is going to not sneak up on anybody. They're a team that is one of the favorites, honestly, in terms of who can win two straight games. Like I said, it's a neutral court. There's no home court. There's going to be fans there, but it's not like going to be a rowdiness of playing in Ball Arena or playing in Boston or playing in LA. It's going to be basically what you see for the Vegas Golden Knights home games. A lot of people in suits, a lot of people that fork over money, a lot of people with a lot of money invested in every single game, mostly caring about the spread than who's actually winning. But it's going to be a different pace of play, but I'm excited. I'm excited to see it. I'll obviously have my eyes on it and watch some of those games on Monday and Tuesday, and obviously the championship on Thursday, I think. Maybe it's Friday, whatever day it is. But I'm excited, so it should be fun.
I was going to say, speaking of Lions, I was going to look and see if they have it. They don't have any of them set yet. They don't have actual, at least not that I can find on ESPN. So is there anything else basketball-wise that we should talk? Oh, another thing that I wanted to mention, and I don't know if I'm late to the party on this. I told you yesterday, I did not realize. Like, I knew how big Boban was, and I could see it on when he's on TV. I think he probably could have looked me eye to eye, and I was sitting like four levels up from where he was on the court, and his hands look oversized in person. That's the insane part.
Boban, I watched Wemby on Sunday. Boban and Wemby are in a class of their own. Like, look, I would never ever sign up for a goddamn San Antonio Spurs on a Sunday night to go watch them while there's football on. But Wemby makes me want to do that. Legit. Like, he is must-watch TV, and the Spurs are a bad team. Look, don't get me wrong. That team is not good around him yet. It's going to take a couple of years. They probably have no top five pick this year. But Wemby is going to take over this league. That I think it was the second or third play of the game where he got the block on Reggie on I think it was KCP under the basket going up, and then he dribbled all the way down the court and pulled up from three at the top of the key, and I was like, this motherfucker 7'5" doing this shit. And you look at just the size of Boban too, specifically. Like, Boban is a guy that he doesn't get as many minutes as it looks like he's taking
all the energy in the world just to keep his body moving.
He is just an absolute mass of a human. I had told you this when we were walking out, it's like, guys like that don't last in a league. No. That's the problem.
He's been there a while though.
Exactly, like, but play get meaningful play time for this long in the league, because
meaningful play time.
That's the thing with Wemby, is like, if he puts on weight, like, it's maybe too much for him to stand on. That's the thing, is like that's the scary part, is he may need to be this skinny for this long and just try to get leaner and not bulk up, because if he bulks up, it's going to be terrible on his knees. You look at Yao, you look at Shaq, you look at all the great big men, especially of this 21st century, the early 2000s, they all had it. And that's where these guys are running into these troubles. And hopefully Wemby doesn't have to deal with it, because Wemby's an absolute unit of a person, a unit of a ball player, but these massive human beings, they're creating them in labs in the middle of fucking nowhere in Europe, obviously. That's where Wemby was created. Boban was created somewhere in Serbia, along those same exact lines. So,
yeah. Oh, and Jokic in person is just as magical as watching him on TV. We were sitting there last night, and we looked up, and he had 15 assists. I was like, when did he get 15? What? And he also has 28 points, 28 and 15 in going into the third quarter. How did that happen?
The dude is just special to watch every single night. And like I said, I watched nearly every single Nuggets game. I watch more than the average person of the Nuggets every single night. And this, I will never take watching one fight for granted, especially when Jamal Murray's on the floor with him, because those two play basketball together. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
They had a couple times last night, and you mentioned it, and I'm going to put this out here on our platform too. He's one of the smarter players that you see on the court, because he knows exactly the way he makes those passes. He has to know where the defense is going to be, and he has to know where they're going to adjust. And he makes the open pass, and he had a couple last night to Jamal. And, you know, it wasn't just the starters, because I don't think that they lost the lead the entire time we were there. I don't think that they lost the lead. So the backups, it got close, and it busted your parlay with the spread. But they at least looked competent. There was a lot of depth, especially looking at across the floor at Houston. I know Houston's not anything, but I remember when the Nuggets weren't anything. We talked about that on the walk back to the truck last night too. There was 8 years ago, Ball Arena was a desert island. You did not want to go there. Like, you would go to Elitch's and be like, oh, but it's a little too close to Ball
Arena. If you were given tickets to Pepsi Center, which is what it was called at the time, if you were given tickets to Pepsi Center, you were like, do I really want to go to the game?
I'm busy, actually. I think
I'll pass, and I think I'll just relax, put on a movie. I don't think I'm going to go to Ball Arena and watch one of these two shit teams. Yeah, it's crazy what an 8-year turnaround it's been, especially with these franchises.
Well, right now, I mean, I was driving home from a wrestling practice, and you were like, hey, you want to go? I was like, I'm not going to lie. I did say, I am tired. Might not be bad to rest, but they beat them fast enough. I was still home by, like, I was in bed by 10.
That's what I'm saying. Well, you beat bad teams very easily. I was like, yeah, let's fucking get out of here. I don't fucking need to watch Hunter Tyson and Jalen Pickett run the court. And you're like, yeah, that's good with me. And I'm like, all right, perfect. We saw the boys roll, and we'll move on from there.
Yeah, I'm a good person to go to sporting events with, because if it was your team, it was your sport, your game. I was like, well, I'll stay until he wants to. I don't really care. I got nothing else to do, and I'm having a good time.
The one thing I will say though about that game that I told you as we were going in, it was like it should have been Jeff Green ring night, which I didn't know, which it was supposed to be. Apparently, a couple things factored in before the game. They decided, Jeff Green's family and a bunch of the higher ups in higher office wouldn't have been there. So they decided to postpone it. I heard also that the ring wasn't there for him yet, which is a little surprising. I would not put it past the Gronkies to do that. Is all I'm gonna say.
We ordered the ring. Are we sure? Did we order the ring?
Did it ship in time? And so there's a couple things that came into play. He will be December 8th, so next Friday he will get his ring. So he'll get his own.
Yeah, like you said, we play the Rockets like 10 out of the next 12 games or something stupid. It seems like it.
We're done playing them next Friday. Like, you play a team four times in your own conference, and we've played them three times already. It's fucking November 30th. The season's only been a month and a half, not even. So, like,
by the way, shout out to do you know the name? I know you know. Who's the PA announcer at the Nuggets games? What are they?
Kyle Speller.
That's one of the things that I did enjoy, and I liked doing it when I was PA announcer for the basketball team. You kind of get to put your own flavor on stuff, and if you know the team guys well, Jordan or Justin Holiday, I was laughing my ass off. To the window, to the wall.
Kyle Speller, he's been the PA guy since I was little. I don't remember going to a Nuggets game with him without being a PA guy. Like, I point out a handful of guys, like, yeah, that security guard been running the court since I was little. That usher has been owns a card shop down the road and been there for 25 plus years. Yeah, and that's what made the championship so much sweeter, is because of guys like those that have stuck around for so long. Getting to see them win makes it even so much better. But yeah, there's little pieces of Nuggets history everywhere, all around that arena, every single night.
Yeah, no, it was awesome, and it was a cool atmosphere to be at. I was glad I was able to go. Let's get into some. It's time for college football. It's time for championship weekend. outside of, you know, I love bowl season. We're obviously, we got to figure out when we're going to do our bowl pick'em show, because that's going to be set here soon. I'm so excited for a 12-team playoff. But as much as it sucks we're not getting that 12-team playoff this year, this weekend is where we're going to see a lot of the drama. Well, there's a possibility that we could see a lot of the drama this weekend. There's a possibility that there's no drama because the teams who are handling business handle business, and we don't have
to worry about it. Team that can fuck everything up. That's it. Let's be honest.
There's a couple scenarios that would make it very awkward in trying to figure this thing out.
When we go through it, I'll see what your thoughts are, but I think there's only one, because I think that the rest of them, like, it's pretty self-explanatory how it goes if this team wins and that team doesn't win. So we'll see.
Let's go through the rankings and see where teams are first going into the rivalry, the conference championship weekend. Georgia, number one, 12-0 on the season. Michigan, number
one. Very interesting that Michigan's not number one after beating Ohio State. But because Georgia's best win this year is fucking against Missouri and Ole Miss. Like, I had this competition. Like, Missouri and Ole Miss, they had good years, but they're not Ohio State's level. They're not Penn State's level, in my opinion. Like, Michigan had much better wins, so I think they should have been one, but it doesn't matter necessarily. But
I think that they're probably banking on one of those two probably to lose. Washington sitting at three, also undefeated. This is the longest they've been undefeated since 1991, when they won their last national championship. Then Florida State did survive with their backup quarterback against Florida. They still sit at number four.
They won by 15 points. It was like they were trailing that game. That's a gritty win. It's a very gritty win they had on the road against a rival. That's a gritty win from a
back. But you know what it doesn't do? It doesn't give the playoff committee very much confidence unless you go out there and absolutely smack Louisville in the ACC championship. Got to beat them by 45 at least, or the committee's going to be like, because you do have to take into consideration of the season. If you just say because they lost their starting quarterback, you can't be in the top four, then why the hell do we play the 12 weeks leading up to this point? So you have to say this is an undefeated team, and can they still be a top four team in the country without their starting quarterback? And I don't know. I mean, I think last week, with it being a rivalry, with it being the first time that they had to play without Travis as a starting quarterback, you can maybe write something off. But this weekend, if it doesn't look good against Louisville, that's where we're going to start to see the movement happen. And I think they could be the one team on the chopping block that could win and still play themselves out of a Final Four spot.
It's so crazy because, look, when this 4-team playoff came about, like, the big conversation was, okay, this is going to get the four best teams in every single year. But we're here in a situation in 2023 where and I'll pose this question to you because I would love to see what your thoughts are. Is it the most deserving four teams, or is it the best four teams? Because when it comes to the most deserving, Florida State, if they win on Sunday, no matter the outcome, should be in. They're one of the three lone undefeated teams in a Power Five conference. That's the most deserving. If you go by best team overall, then Alabama should have been in the playoff every single year, right? Like that's the odds. That's the big going on is like, yeah, Florida State doesn't have Jordan Travis, but they're still beating everybody. Like they have not gone home from a game, home or away, where they have to be like, you know what, we didn't play our best. We need to make these adjustments. They've come home with a win every single week and said, you know what, we figured out a way to win, and that's all we can do. And in a conference that has won a national championship more recently than the Big 12 and the Pac-12, it goes the SEC, Big 10, and then the ACC with Clemson. And look, Clemson is not as good as they were. There's no doubt about that. But that conference is still very, very tough. There's a reason why a lot of those teams are still in the conference. Let's not forget, compared to the other –
that conference is sticking around.
Yeah, no one has jumped from the ACC yet. No one has jumped. So they're staying put. And that means – that shows the level of opponents and level of fight these lower-level teams have in that division. But if it goes by most deserving, then Florida State is 100% in with the win on Sunday. If it goes by four best teams, then that's a different conversation. I would love to see what your thoughts are because, like I said, the conversation comes up.
It does, but it's the reason why the 4-team playoff was never going to work because there's so much subjectivity along with the objective set of rules that you put. It just doesn't make sense. Like, it's two sides of your brain working against each other because, yes, it should be the best team, But to be the best team, I don't care what conference you play in, the best team, if we're going to go based off a record first, if undefeated means that much, should be able to be undefeated. So Alabama, the years that you didn't go undefeated and you didn't win your conference, but you still snuck in, you were benefiting from the subjective feeling when objectively you didn't qualify for the playoff. That's why the expanding of the playoff just makes it so much more. You win your conference, you get a first round bye. You're top four seed, you get a first round bye. You don't, you host the game. If you're 6 through 12 or whatever, you get the at-large bid. And it makes it really simple. There's just so much. The fact that we put it to a room full of like 15 athletic directors who all have their own stake in trying to get a not just their team into the playoff, but two teams from their conference. Because keep in mind, $80,000 to your athletics budget for getting a school into as a conference, for getting a school into the college football playoff. You get two, that's 160 grand. That wow. This is why we see the SEC and the Big Ten where they are, because they've had so much money just pouring in, because Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Georgia, LSU. I mean, Clemson did it for a while too. So I think that it's the problem with having subjective people trying to put an objective playoff together when there's really no objectivity. Because you can make an argument for six teams this year as the best team in the country.
And in my opinion, like I think that there's one blaring league team, because we haven't gone through the rest of the rankings, but there's one blaring obviously team there that I'm not happy with. If you are not playing football this weekend, you're not making the Final Four. Let's just be honest with ourselves. And I'm looking at you, Ohio State. That was your playoff game. I'm sorry. It was, but it is. And the worst part about this, Jimmy, is look, this Michigan Ohio State game next year is going to lose a lot. And I mean a lot of value, because two things that you won, 12-team playoff. Two, Big Ten is doing the exact same thing that the Pac-12 did, was removing divisions. So that means you're going to get Michigan, Ohio State possibly 2-3 weeks in a row. Think about that for a second.
It would only be twice.
Well, I mean, if they go in the playoff, like technically around, you could be playing them three.
It would be so wild.
It'd be very wild.
I don't know if I'd like that or I'd hate that.
It's very, very wacky, and that's the unfortunate part. That, like I said, this past weekend may have been the greatest rivalry weekend we may ever have again, plain and simple. Yeah. Because the rivalry games, well look, it's now for seeding. It's now for seeding. That's the worst part about it. It's now for seeding. It's going to suck next year when Ohio State, Michigan doesn't fucking matter as much. It's going to suck when Alabama, Auburn doesn't mean as much. It's going to suck when you play Florida, Florida State again. It doesn't mean anything. It's going to suck when fucking Washington and Oregon play against each other out of conference. Like that's just the world we live in, unfortunately. That is the world we live in. And this is where college football has come to, that the world of football has come into. But back on my point. Yeah, if you don't play this weekend, you don't get in. And it's very, very weird to me that Ohio State was 6, because it makes me think that they really do think that if fucking mayhem works out, that they can still get in, which I don't think is true.
I have no fucking clue how they're higher than Texas, because Texas has the road win against Alabama. That's the crazy thing. So
that's the biggest win. That's the biggest win.
It's the biggest win in the country, by hands down by far. I think you can say maybe Washington over Oregon.
I would say outside of Michigan over Ohio State, but I think it's the second biggest win. I would say it's the second biggest win out that. But that's the, like I said, that game could be the reason why either Georgia or Alabama will be sitting at home in Texas. Maybe, back? Like in the postseason?
Texas has to beat Oklahoma State in the Big 12 championship. Now, I know that they should, but when Texas should do something, that's when they don't do it. Sure, so now true. I'm not going to sit here and say, yes, they're going to win it. If Texas takes care of business, technically, unless it's all four undefeateds, Texas should be the next team in, unless it's Oregon. But then how do you decide who's better between Texas and Oregon? Because Oregon, well, I guess Oregon lost to Washington, Texas lost to Oklahoma. Who's the best win? Oregon's best win is Washington. There, or Oregon's best win would be Oregon Washington. State.
No,
would it be Oregon State?
Yeah, Oregon beat Oregon State. It'd be Washington. It'd be a ranked.
They didn't beat Washington. Washington beat Oregon.
Well, if they win.
If they win, yeah. That's true. If they win, then they'd be undefeated. That would be the catalyst. Because Texas, unfortunately, Texas would have benefited more if BYU would have won last weekend against Oklahoma State, and they'd be having a rematch against Oklahoma. Because that would be a 10-1 Oklahoma team going up against a 10-1 Texas team, and you get a chance to avenge your loss.
Well, so, Washington being undefeated, like this is where this conversation goes in. And I tweeted this out, and I got some slack for it. I think Pac-12 really has a chance here for two teams. I'm serious. Look, Georgia hasn't beaten anybody. I will stand under this fucking hill.
They haven't Ole Miss lost in 28 games.
I know they haven't lost in 28 games, but if they lose this weekend, they should be fucking number 4 seed, in my opinion. At maximum, because the conversation arises, if Oregon wins and Washington has beaten Oregon, they've beaten USC, they're a ranked team. They've beaten Utah, who was a ranked team. They beat Oregon State, who was a ranked team. They have 5 games this year that they've won against ranked opponents at one point in this season. While Georgia would have two, which is Missouri and Ole Miss. The rest of their schedule is dog water. And don't get me wrong, Georgia has one of the best 4 teams in the country. There's zero doubt about that. But if Alabama comes in and fucking kicks your ass. And look, after Jalen Milroe, what he did to Auburn, fucking crushed my soul because I had Auburn money line. If he comes in there to Georgia and kicks the shit out of Georgia, Georgia's not making a playoff. I'll say it. I'll say it. They're not making a playoff. I hate to be that guy, but there's not a single quality win, in my opinion, on this fucking board. Missouri and Ole Miss, you can be happy about them all they want. The SEC sucks this year. It's not as good as the Pac-12. Not as good as the Big Ten. It was not good this year. Tennessee was bad. Auburn was bad. Ole Miss was decent. Florida bad. Mississippi State bad. A lot of teams very, very bad in that conference this year. You're telling me Georgia should get in if they get their ass kicked by Alabama? Absolutely not.
Here's the thing. I don't think they're going to get their asses kicked, but I do think that people are writing it too quickly that Alabama is just going to lose because – no. I mean, that's what happened 2 years ago when Georgia lost to Alabama in the SEC championship game. I mean, they're still coached by Nick Saban. They have that catalyst that Jalen Milroe might be the fastest guy on the field, and he can throw it 70 yards. And I think that the Iron Bowl is still going to have that mystique because something weird happens every time. You realize that was that Hail Mary was on the 10-year anniversary of the kick six. I don't know how that happens unless we truly are in the simulation and like they do have this written out in advance because the way that worked out was just insane. Let's talk about these matchups. I know we didn't go through all the rankings, but those are really the rankings that matter. Nobody else has a chance to bump themselves up.
It's those 8 teams.
Pooch last weekend.
It's those 8 teams, and look, I'll play out a scenario for you that I think will happen, and I think that it's very, very likely is that we see 3 undefeated teams in the Final 4. Is all I'm going to say, and we'll get to our predictions here in a second. But I think we have 3 undefeated teams.
You have Liberty going to the Final 4. I see where you're coming from.
Yes, sir, baby. Liberty.
First game that we're picking, we're only going to make picks for the Power 5 Pac-12 Championship Friday night. Oregon, number 5, going. They're playing in Las Vegas, but technically, they're going to Washington. Washington will be the host team. I think both teams are going to travel. I think that both teams realize this is as close as they've been for a national championship in a long time. Absolutely. Dan Lanning has been around it at Georgia, been under Kirby Smart, learned a lot of great things. Kalen DeBoer at Washington is just a solid, consistent football coach. Washington never sucks. Washington has been in the college football playoff before. So has Oregon. But Washington – Michael Penix this year might have something to prove. And it might be – I know that everybody wants to root for Bo Nix, but being 28 years old and dominating college football kind of loses a little bit of its luster. So if I'm looking at it and I think what's going to show that Washington is most prepared for this playoff run, it's beating Oregon in this game.
Yeah,
it's absolutely taking care of business and beating probably the best team on your schedule not once but twice, which is the hardest thing in football to do.
That is so, so damn hard. And for that reason, I'm writing Oregon because of exactly what you said. It's so hard to beat a team twice. And I hate that look that, that it's very unfortunate because if Washington lost the first meeting at home and then come here and you win this football game, they'd be in the exact opposite scenario, and it almost benefits Oregon. This game benefits Oregon more than it benefits Washington because like I said, Washington is a team that should have run, that should be in the playoff no matter what. Like they're that good of a team. You have a Heisman front runner, in my opinion, and you've beaten a very, very good slate of teams. When it comes to this football game, I think that Oregon's just too talented, and they've beaten teams a little bit better than Washington has. I think this game, and I'm being honest with you, I think this game decides the Heisman Trophy too. I 100%. I don't think Jaden Daniels and LSU wins it. Absolutely not. So you're not giving the Heisman Trophy to a 6-6 football team, okay? That's just not fucking happening.
Only three losses. Only three losses. Whatever. Let's not put 6-6. You know who won a Heisman Trophy at 9-3? Lamar Jackson.
I think that's
Jaden Daniels' numbers look eerily similar to Lamar Jackson.
I would love to go back and look at that year because Louisville, I think, was still still in the ACC championship, which I guess no, because LSU, like I said,
LSU almost wasn't. LSU just needed to beat Alabama and they'd be in their conference championship this weekend.
I guess that's fair. I don't know. I'm still think that it's Penix or Bo Nix to win this, and maybe freaking Maserati Marv will be the third place. I think that's how it'll go. But
wouldn't that just piss you off to have two guys as finalists that weren't playing conference championship week? Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison Jr. What are you doing there?
That would be a little ridiculous. I think the Heisman may lose a little steam because of that, is all I'm going to say. Because I think that you think the Heisman the last couple of years has gone to
the best
player on one of the best
Crybaby Williams last year.
Yeah, but he was one of the best players on a top 10 team at the end of the year still.
Started to sniff his own shit and thought it didn't stink.
That's very true. You're not wrong about that.
Oh, that smells like roses. No, it doesn't. It's still shit. Don't do that. Don't pick that up. Keep that down. You have Oregon. I have Washington. Pac-12 championship. First game on Saturday, Big 12 championship. This one's always wild. It's being played at AT&T Stadium, which is also where Thursday Night Football is being held. So Jerry's making his budget for Christmas is what's happening this weekend with hosting the Big 12 and Thursday Night Football. But Oklahoma State, they hold on. They beat BYU. Ollie Gordon is taking this team from losing to – I got to pull it up here. I'm going to pull up their schedule. They lost to a team that was South Alabama. They lost South Alabama 33-7, and since then, only one other loss on their schedule to Iowa State. They've rattled off win after win after win. UCF was another struggle. They're here. This is the best. Texas should be licking your chops. Texas, you need to be like, thank God it's not Oklahoma, because I feel like we should just dominate. As long as we can stop the run, that's the big question. Are you going to be able to stop Ollie Gordon in this run game? Because Mike Gundy has totally gone away from this air raid system. He knows his best player is a running back now. So he's handing the ball off 45 times. See if you can stop it. See if you can get back on the field. We're just going to take this clock. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm going to take this clock. You're not going to get the ball back.
I'm going to ride Texas here, if I'm being honest with you. I think Texas wins this game and is the first team out. I'll when I get to the rest of my predictions, you'll see why. I think that the fifth team out, I think is a big win, but I unfortunately, with how the SEC championship goes, I think that's going to be the biggest factor because they need Alabama to win. Because Alabama wins, I think that guarantees Texas in. I hate saying that, but you beat a team in the Final Four and that team all of a sudden hops you. Like, yeah, don't get me wrong. They won their conference, but so did you.
Yeah.
So did you. And your one loss was a team that wasn't the top 15. Don't get me wrong, but you beat that team. And if we are I live in a world that I think head-to-head stats still should fucking matter. Okay, I really do. I think if you beat a team, you should be ranked higher. Plain and simple. That's why Washington should be ranked ahead of Oregon. That's why Texas should be ranked ahead of Alabama, which they currently are. And I think the committee should take that into a factor no matter if Alabama wins the SEC championship or not. Because if they do, I think Texas is it. So I'm taking Texas here. I kind of just predicted just basically said what my SEC championship pick was, but I think Texas wins, but I think they're the fifth team out.
Yeah, I think Texas is going to win too. And by the way, Alabama is currently ranked ahead of Texas. Texas is 8, Alabama is 7.
I was gonna say, I swear I thought I said Texas above it. Look, if you put Alabama above Texas in the college football playoff after they beat Georgia, like look, it's going to be one of the best wins of the season. Don't get me wrong, it's going to be one of the best wins of the season. But it is going to encourage every single D1 program to fucking schedule the Sisters of the Poor week 1 and 2. Because if we're saying I don't give a fuck about week 1 and 2 of the regular season, which is when Alabama or when Texas beat Alabama, then why the hell are we scheduling good opponents at the beginning of the year? Because it doesn't matter. Strength of schedule should matter, in my opinion. And Texas beating Alabama should matter. But if the committee just overlooks that, in my opinion, I think it's a waste. Yes, Alabama's talented. But my God, I'm not going to sit here and say that Alabama fucking got their hands kicked to them at home. At home. Let's not forget. In Tuscaloosa, Texas did that. That's a fucking massive win. Like, I don't care if Alabama's the fifth team in, then if they win the first team out if they win the SEC championship. Texas deserves to be ahead of them. And like I said, if you're going to be SEC Big Ten biased, then you're the reason why that the college football is getting rid of all these great rivalry games that are going to be no more. And this is why all these NIL deals are going to come in, and why the Caleb Williams of the world are not going to play a bowl game. You're the reason for that, plain and simple.
Yeah. That goes to the SEC championship. You've already made your prediction. You think Georgia is going to come out on top. I tend to agree with you because here's the thing. Carson Beck has quietly, the quarterback for Georgia, if you haven't watched a Bulldog game, if you're not an obsessed college football fan like myself, Carson Beck has quietly thrown for 3,500 yards, 22 touchdowns, and only 6 interceptions. And he's a little bit more athletic than Stetson Bennett.
I think I'd put him fifth in the Heisman ranking. So he's not going to win it. But I think that there's a chance that
you look at he's going to get invited, but he
won't get invited. But
he's going to get a vote.
You mentioned, yeah.
Because he plays for Georgia, too, who's the 2-time defending national champion, back-to-back. Big Ten championship. Michigan gets the win in the game, holds on, big interception at the end. Comes down to play in the trenches. Now, I don't know what that injury to – now I can't think of his last name, but Zach Big Z is what they call him. But that guard snapping his leg, that was really unfortunate. He was going to be a really high draft pick in the NFL. He was going to make a lot of money. Now teams are probably going to be thinking twice about that. That was a tough situation. But honestly, there's – when has the Michigan team been more prepared through the adversity they've had to go through all season – losing their head, not having their head coach to start the year, losing their head coach 8 games into the season where you have to finish the last 3 against 2 of your 3 toughest opponents with a backup offensive coordinator head coach. And then now to lose one of your All-American linemen yet still beat the best team that you played on your schedule so far in Ohio State in a big rivalry game. They've proven, I think that this team is ready. Now, they can't take this game lightly, and Iowa's got a hell of a defense. This is why Iowa has them as many wins as they do. But I'm not going to sit here and predict Iowa going to win this game. I think they might make Michigan look a little bit succulent on offense. J.J. McCarthy might struggle a little bit. Maybe you see a turnover or two, but there's not going to be this offensive explosion. Nico, remind the people, what's the over-under for points for Iowa in the first half?
One point.
And I think we'd all say, let's hammer the under here. They don't like putting points on in the first half.
The question with the spread, and look, I'm a betting man during this time of the year, so I could talk about it. Do you believe that the Iowa can score 10 points on Michigan? Do you believe that this offense in Iowa can score?
Offensively, no. Special teams defense, maybe.
Then they're going to cover, in my opinion. I Cade McNamara, who
you think
who,
Michigan's going to score 20 points on an Iowa defense that I don't think is giving up more than.
The case against that is Iowa's defense is really good, but so was Ohio State's, and so was Penn State's. Like Michigan's offense just dices up and down down the field. That's where this big problem is for Iowa. It's like they're gonna have to put up points, Jimmy. They're not gonna win this football game under no means. The big question is are they gonna cover? And I see no world are they going to cover a 20.5 spread. Okay. I think it's going to be a 30 to fucking 10 ball game easily, very easily. And I would even put the over under at Iowa's total points under 10 points. I'm going like if there's a team bet where you can bet on just solely what the over under is for Iowa's points, it's under 9.5, and then you're hammering it. Okay, is all I'm gonna say.
All right, we were gonna talk a little bit of NHL. I think we're gonna pivot because it's a little too early in the hockey season to continually talk about it. The Avalanche looked like they're putting some things together, and Johansson's starting to find his niche. If that catch holds up, that's a Jackson Smith and Jigba not looking bad for the Seattle. And we're not picking the Thursday night game, so I guess we might as talk about it a little bit. Then we have some news to address in the NFL world that's kind of unfortunate. But we can talk about this. Seattle and Dallas, as of now, there's an official review going on, and I don't know if they're going to uphold this touchdown catch by Jackson Smith and Jigba, but it's tied 20-20. I thought that Dallas was going to come out and try and do one of their BCS numbers. I don't think that Seattle's that bad, but I didn't think they'd be able to score. I mean, Dallas's defense has looked pretty lights out the last few weeks.
You say that, Jimmy. You're correct. You're very, very correct. But they haven't beaten a team with a winning record this year.
Does Seattle have a winning record? I can't remember.
Seattle has a winning record. They're 6-5. The Cowboys have not beat a team with a winning record this year. Through 11 games, they're 7-4? Or I think they're 6. Yeah, 7-4, I think. Or maybe they're 7-4.
They're holding the catch up. I think that's a catch. Over Bland.
Oh, fucking Christ. I had for Cowboys first half money line. That killed my ass. God damn it.
Well, I guess but it's not official.
I can't win anything. But yeah, no, the Cowboys haven't beat an actual team football all season, which is crazy to me. Absolutely crazy to me. So the Cowboys may be fraudulent again. Dak has played better this year. He actually absolutely has played better this year. But this Cowboys team cannot beat a good team. They still have they're still staring down the 49ers and the Eagles in terms of hosting two playoff games, and I don't think they're going to sniff that. Like hosting a playoff game, in my opinion, that's not
even I don't think they're going to be. I don't think they will not be.
And look, I saw something during the first half of this game. The Cowboys are, I think, 6-0 on turf this year. And I think 1-4 on
such
draft.
A gambler stat. That's such a gambler stat.
I saw that and I was like, wait, what? I was like, hold on a second. What am I looking at? And it's crazy, but it's true. And in a world of everyone saying, oh, fucking, everyone needs to play on grass. This is ridiculous. The Cowboys all of a sudden love playing on turf. And winning that many ball games in that amount of time is crazy, but it's not. It's very, very true. So. I don't trust the Cowboys. I never will. No. It's like Texas is back, but I'd like to believe in Texas every now and then to think about it. So, but give me going forward that the Cowboys are not going to do anything.
Yeah, I think that's pretty safe. I don't know how I feel about Bland. I know that he has now. You know, it's impressive what he's done, but he reminds me so much of Diggs, whatever. You either get a pick six or you give up a touchdown because you go for the ball and not actually play your technique. So maybe we should play defense before we worry about scoring some touchdowns.
Tell me about those Dan Quinn teams and gambling for home run wins, right? Cough.
It's when the coach wears his hat backwards. When he's got the hat backwards, you know he means business. Oh, there's the touchdown. So the Smith and Jigba catch didn't count, but there was pass interference in the end zone.
Yeah, not so fast because McCarthy had a timeout. I'm ahead on the game. Yeah, so they
oh, you're ahead? Again.
Yeah.
That's bull.
Man, now they scored, though. DK Metcalf touchdown, which helps my fantasy team. So I don't
care. That was three different people. So they could have scored three different ways.
Oh, hold on. There's a flag. Maybe not yet. Oh, but it's bland in coverage again. So I think that's probably going to – yeah, it's got surface.
Jesus Christ. Okay. I'm going to stop paying attention to that game. Otherwise, I'm never going to get this out. I heard it as I was coming down the stairs leaving the school today because obviously as much as he's important to the two of us, the kids that I teach, they kind of only know Vaughn and like Vaughn Miller is the guy. They really don't even know him for the issues that he had. We talked about it before with the whole marijuana situation and the injuries coming back from that adversity. And he was, I mean, before he left Colorado, he was pretty much a pillar in the community. He had redone his image to the point where he was the leader, and everybody knew he had to go because he deserves more money than what we were going to be able to pay him at that point. And he's won his Super Bowl. He's Super Bowl MVP. He's the best defensive player that's played for the team. Unfortunately, this afternoon, it was reported that he had to turn himself in to Glen Heights, Texas Police Department. It was on a $5,000 bond that if he would have not turned himself in, would have turned into possible 10 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. We're not here to make any kind of opinions, not here to say anything, state anything about that. If it says here that he's been in a relationship with the person who filed the charges for 7 years, so it's not like this is a new thing, and he's had issues that have kind of been swept away in the past. I mean, I've heard of this at certain points, but it hasn't ever escalated to this level. This seems like it's more serious than we've seen.
It's absolutely terrible. I hate it. It hurts me because Vaughn is one of my favorite all-time players. Like I said, I was a staple in this community, a guy that a lot of people look up to in this community. And look, he is the reason why I have experienced a Super Bowl. Let's not forget, like without Vaughn, there's no Super Bowl here in Denver, Colorado in 2016. Yeah, Peyton was all that, but Vaughn Miller was the reason that we won Super Bowl 50. And I'm hoping that everything gets cleared up and that there's no wrongdoings, hopefully in the long run. But if there is, I hope that Vaughn gets the help that he needs, A, and B, gets put in his place, because there's no room in the world for any of that. And it's crazy. Like I was telling you about the Giddey story, and you talked about Miles Bridges still playing basketball. It seems like a lot of these things get pushed under the rug for big-time players. And I don't think and I hate it. I absolutely hate it. So in this time, day and age, like it's important to look out for those that need it. And I hope that Vaughn gets the help that he does to either A, never do this again, or B, hopefully that he actually didn't do this. But if he did, then it's terrible. Like I said, I have a Vaughn Miller jersey. He'll never wear it again. And it's terrible for this community. It's terrible for Denver. Buffalo obviously had a lot higher hopes for him. But in Denver community, we're hurting right now because it sucks. And look, you hit a woman, there's no excuses. There's not a single excuse. It's terrible. And I hope that – like I said, we don't know everything that's come out yet, but it doesn't look good. And I hope – and I'm hoping for the best because, like I said, he was a childhood hero of mine. But right now, like I said, I have nothing. I don't want anything to do with Vaughn and until this gets cleared up because it's terrible and should never be brushed under the rug. Situation like this.
That's a good thing. I mean, I know that they've done it in the past, but it seems like recently when this is the situation that happens, the NFL takes more drastic measures up front so that they don't have to kind of, it's like they don't go far enough and then they have to go too far. This seems he's not going to play. I don't think that I at least can't imagine that he's going to be on the field this very soon. This has got to go through all the processes. And unfortunately, I know you know this. And if your dad was on, he'd tell us the same thing. This is going to be a long process because the legal system is made that way for a reason. So that if it is true, we understand exactly what happened. And if it is false, we are able to find that out and, handle that situation if that's what it comes to. But it's not going to be anytime soon. So I think we should reserve any kind of judgment. Like you said, if this comes out to be true, he deserves everything that happens to him. If it comes out that maybe there was some embellishment, it sucks. It's a terrible situation, but it's not like it's uncommon in today's day and age. He wouldn't be the first person that we've seen kind of be put through this whole thing. And I know that you've kind of seen it, not the same context, but a similar situation up close with guys that were close to your family that your dad had worked with in the past. So I think that's where we should probably leave it. It sucks. And it was out of nowhere. I mean, I know that there was the whole social media thing going on with him and his baby mama last year, and that kind of was just bad. Didn't want to see it happen. And then this, when the police department and ESPN are the first to report on it, and I don't see it on Twitter or Instagram, I'm like, ah, shit, this is real. Damn it. Now we got to deal with this. Now we got to make sure this isn't actually happening, or if it is, then we got to figure this out. All right. Let's pick some games. How about that? Last week, we went 4-4. We had the big feast week for Thanksgiving. We both went 4-4, picked different games. The Bears kind of kind of screwed us. We were both going to finish with winning records. If
the astronaut may be dead, is all I'm going to say. Astronaut, four picks. Look, some of those weren't his fault. Don't get me wrong, not his fault. But the astronaut tenure may be running dry.
He seems to do better when he's learning a playbook. So, Kevin O'Connell, if you could just install a brand new offense every single week and keep nothing the same, I know that's going to screw everybody else over. But just give Josh a playbook a week and see if maybe that helps. But that was kind of where things turned. Obviously, so just to recap from the games, because it's been a little bit since we last talked to the people. The Lions sucked. They continue to lose on Thanksgiving. The Cowboys
eight straight losses. I don't know why. Look, these are things that I need to know, like, before going into gambling on Thanksgiving, because I swear I was like, I'm all over the Lions. I'm taking the Lions. I took the spread. I was like, oh, they're gonna kill the Packers, and then I got told that stat at halftime, and I was like, why the fuck is this not common knowledge? Like, why does this shit always come out at the worst time?
I mean, there is that Family Guy joke when Brian falls into the lion enclosure in the Thanksgiving episode. Oh, it's Thanksgiving. Shouldn't you guys be in Detroit losing a football game right now? I mean, it is common. But this, we were all – I don't know what to think about the Lions, because they always have this. Like, I always look at them and go, oh, they're putting this stuff together. They're figuring it out. They're not going to struggle. They've gone through the trials and tribulations of learning how to win and then how not to lose and then how not to beat yourself, and they're finally here. And then here's the honest thing too. I think that the Packers, we were kind of rushing a little bit to say that they were good or bad, kind of like how we did with the Broncos this year. But Jordan Love and those young players in Green Bay are also figuring it out. So as much as the Lions didn't play well and Goff sucked, the Packers also played probably one of their better games.
Those statistics about Favre, Rodgers, and now Love all first Thanksgiving games is a little scary for
three
those.
Straight Hall of Fame quarterbacks in a row.
Very, very unfortunate for those in the AFC North is all I'm gonna say. I'm not saying Jordan Love's gonna be Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre yet, but you've gotta be fucking hating it. You're like, God damn it, like, God,
I just got over one.
Please don't do this to me again. I guess if you're the Bears, if you're the Lions specifically, where you think the Lions would be like, oh, this is our division, like, we should be running through, and then you still lose to the big brother. All I'm going to say, it doesn't look great. It's not great.
Everybody hates the Packers. They all hate each other, but even Raleigh, who doesn't – she's a Vikings fan, but she's not, like, diehard to the point where she really knows the players or anything. She just knows that if the Vikings win, it's good, and if the Vikings lose, it's bad. She can't stand the Packers. There's like a deep-seated, if you're in the Midwest, you either love the Packers or you can't fucking stand the Packers. Now get the Packers off of my fucking screen, please. Thank you very much. let's talk about the games that we're picking this week, because I don't really want to touch on. We'll talk about the Broncos when we get to their game. We'll talk about the Bengals when we get to that one. Got a couple other ones that we're going to pick since we're not doing the Thursday night game, but we're starting Colts and Titans, because the Titans, as bad as their season has gone, they still do have a chance. I mean, they're in the wild card race, and if Jacksonville or Houston slip up, it is basically like who's going to take over the 7 seed, because the Colts have the 7 seed right now. The Titans, if they win, I think they're like 2 games behind, and I think they still play the Colts another time.
The top 9 teams, two out of three wild card spots are tied with the three teams looking in on quote unquote in the hunt. Let's not forget about that. So the only reason why the Colts are in the playoffs right now is because of tiebreaker, and Gardner Minshew is still running out there. Is all I'm gonna say. I think the Tennessee's at home this week. Am I right? Correct? Yes, they are. Or is it Indianapolis? I think it's Tennessee at home. Let me double check.
No, it's Tennessee at home.
Yeah,
Tennessee at home. Tennessee's, and Colts are favored by one on the road.
Tennessee's a very good field home team. I'm Vrabel at home. Yeah, give me the Titans. I don't believe in the Colts yet. And be honest with you, this is needed for the Broncos. I need. Like I said, here I am, week 11, picking teams. Trying to figure out scenarios to make the playoffs. Yeah, give me the Titans win back.
I breathe it in to let it go.
I hate that. I know what that's
orange and blue glasses are firmly back in place, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know if they ever left. He might have just put them in his pocket, but they're back out and they're on
They were in my pocket. I guarantee were in my pocket. But so you son of a bitch, I'm back.
I'm taking the Colts because I don't – Will Levis is – I don't know if the Colts have that good of a defense, but Will Levis just – he's going to make a lot of mistakes, and there's going to be growing pains. And I think that Tennessee right now is in a cycle of, okay, this quarterback, okay, this quarterback, okay, next year, this quarterback. And I don't know if Will Levis is going to be the stop in that revolving door the way people think. So I'm taking the Colts. You're on the Texans.
The problem we're running into, Jimmy, is does the Tennessee Titans have Derrick Henry?
They do. Yes.
And do I have a pulse?
Yes.
Titans at home.
Is this or is this not the XFL? Do I not have a pulse? He asks those questions with such like hope in his eyes, like, please help me. I'm so lost. We're opposite already. It's starting off on a good note. Sticking in the AFC South, your team. The Broncos going out to Houston. Now, the Texans already whooped my ass, but that was at home. You're at least – you're having to go into the Hornets' nest because the Texans play – might be close, but the Texans are
– 3.5 right now?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Baby. Hold on. Let me pull up my draft book real quick. Uh-oh. And get the +3.5. I'm going to hammer that right now.
1-800-GAMBLER if you like to bet more than you should. Nico's not that way, but if you're out
definitely,
there.
Definitely not. I did not know this line was 3.5. Look, I'm sticking with my boys. I'm like I said, I got the orange and blue sunglasses back on, the orange and blue jersey and hat and t-shirt back on, and I'm hoping for playoffs. Like I said, I'm hoping for playoffs. And Sean Payton has figured out how to win football games. Absolutely has. He's figured out how to win football games. And last week with the Texans and their performance against Jacksonville, that was a little bit of a shocking performance. Like look, Jacksonville handled that game. Texans came back, covered pretty well. But Jacksonville was in control for most of that game. And Jacksonville's a team that been hot and cold, hot and cold, hot and cold. Yeah, they're going to win the division, but it's hot and coldness. And I think the Broncos – look, this is the game that if the Broncos have real playoff aspirations, you win this football game, you are in the driver's seat. And I hate using that lingo because of what the way Paul George used it against the Nuggets. But you are in the driver's seat if you win. And especially with the first two games, how I laid out, if you win, you beat the Texans, you have a tiebreaker, you have a tiebreaker over them. You'll have a better record than them. And then you'll have the Colts drop back down after losing the Titans. That's a massive, that'd be a massive swing in a two-hour period.
How did we get back to the Titans? You lost me here.
The Titans beating the Colts.
No, you didn't lose me. I'm just giving you shit, Nico.
I'm just saying, I'm riding the boys. Give me the Bronx. I love the 3.5. I love every part of that. So, yeah, give me a 3.5. Sean Payton is eating up. Be like, this team is 3.5. 3.5 favorite over you. The hottest team in football, the longest winning streak in the NFL, and you're 3.5 road dog. Yeah, Houston Texans, a good football team. It's not a tough place to play. That stadium's going to be bright orange. You and I both know it. Houston does not – if you live in the state of Texas, you're not a Texans fan. You are a Dallas Cowboys fan.
I don't know who this we is. I'm picking the Texans because –
I love it.
I know. I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. When I picked against the Broncos, it seems to work out. But the Texans right now do have the tiebreaker, and the tiebreaker actually, it's weird. It doesn't go head to head first. The first tiebreaker is win percentage against teams in your conference, and then it's head to head. So right now, the Texans they have the tiebreaker. That's why they're in the 7th spot instead of. Let's see.
Like I said, you win Sunday and the Colts lose, you are the 6th team in.
Here's my reasoning why I'm going with Houston. And I'm the one who pointed out last week. I said the Broncos know exactly how to win football games because they just love being boring and they don't give a shit. They'll just run it and kick field goals and run it and kick field goals. But they've been playing 4 out of their last 5 games at home. And that 6th week was a bye week in there. They've had one road test. One,
and this is Buffalo. Is a Buffalo in the middle?
Buffalo at that point. Don't give me that. Buffalo at that point was not as good and not as hot as CJ Stroud in Texas and Houston is.
I agree with that, but it's still Josh Allen and it's still the freezing cold of fucking Buffalo.
It's still CJ Stroud and Tank Dell. Apparently,
I'm a believer in Houston. I like what they're doing over there. I like D'Amico Ryans as coach. I think he was number one on my list going back in the offseason of coaches I wanted. Like I love everything they're doing with that team over there. But like I said, I'm riding with the boys.
That's fine. I think that's good. 49ers at Eagles. This one, it's the primetime game on CBS. It's not the actual primetime game, but we threw it in here because it's big. And the 49ers are 3-point favorites. It's not a typo. I didn't put that in there wrong.
In Philly.
In Philly. That's just going to piss off the birds. The birds fans, they don't respect the birds.
I hate when this game's not Sunday Night Football or hey, it's not like a primetime football. Like it's – God, Philadelphia night with
we get Tony Romo for this game, Nico. What more can we ask for?
No, I would have loved just like a Eagles with the bright Kelly Green jerseys and the 49ers with those 3D block red letters jersey, that game. Oh my God, I would have. That would have been on Sunday Night Football. Would have been beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I'm riding the Eagles. I'm going to do it. I'm riding the Eagles at home. I hate, if I'm a 49ers fan, I hate that they're 3-point favorites, in my opinion. I hate it because this is the hottest team in football, and there's no one, and I mean no one, that has figured out how to win football games better than Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. 10-1, best record in football, best team in football right now, and you're giving them a 3-point dog at home. Absolutely give me the Eagles.
Rain, sleet, or snow, the Eagles ready to go. Rain, sleet, or snow, the Eagles ready to go. That was.
I don't think Brock Purdy, little Arizonan Brock Purdy, is ready for the cold winter of Philadelphia with every cuss word and probably some new ones you've never heard of before being thrown at you in the books being thrown at you on the sideline in the dead cold of winter in Philadelphia. Call me?
What did you just say?
I don't think he's ready. So give me the Eagles. It's crazy because this is an NFC Championship rematch, and the Eagles handedly beat them with Josh Johnson at the quarterback.
No,
It was Josh Johnson. Josh Johnson.
He got knocked out in the second quarter.
He might have. But I remember Josh Johnson walking.
No, he was in there, and then they put Brock Purdy in after he tore UCL, and everybody knew he couldn't throw. And then they put in Chris McCaffrey, quarterback.
Either way. It was not pretty.
No, I'm with you. Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory.
I'm never going to sing a Philadelphia winning song. I'll tell you that right now. So, but give me the Eagles.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. I'm a closeted Eagles fan. I've mentioned that. They're my NFC team. Don't disrespect Rocky back there. Sunday Night Football. The Chiefs at the Packers. Chiefs are favored by 6 on the road. This seems like a rat line if I've ever seen it. I'm not saying that the Packers are going to win, but the way the Packers have looked and the fact that this is at home and the Chiefs have sucked so bad outside of last week in the second half, I love the Packers plus 6. I don't think they're going to win, but that plus 6 is gravy to me because I think they can lose this game by a field goal.
There's some key factors you got to look at this game. Is Taylor Swift in the United States? Do I have a pulse?
Yes.
I'm betting against the Chiefs. Betting against the Chiefs. Plus 6. No, I'm going to take the Chiefs to win. I'm not stupid. I like winning this thing, this pick. I'm not an idiot. I don't think the Packers are good enough still to beat them. There was a real thought, like as I was sitting there freezing my ass off in fucking Empower Field at Mile High, that I thought, oh my God, the Raiders are going to beat the Chiefs. If we would have been one game out of first place. In the division, I there was a false hope.
Make me happy. That makes me sad.
I hate myself for thinking that for a second there. I really hate myself for that thought popping in my head. But it was a real thought. It was a very, very real thought. But the Chiefs are going to beat them. They're going to the Packers. I don't believe in them yet. It was a good win, but it's a win that the Lions just. It's not a win that the Packers won. It's a win that the Lions lost. So give me the Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chiefs defense is going to be a little bit tougher than what the Lions put up last week, but the Chiefs offense just they still aren't figuring it out. Maybe this is the week where they put it together consistently, but it's been like once every month, and last week was that explosion.
Finishing it up, Monday Night Football. I wish that this one would have got flexed out. I would have much rather had Eagles 49ers Monday Night Football instead of Bengals Jaguars with the way
They flexed the Chiefs out of Monday Night Football. Did you see that? It's the first time a Monday Night Football game has been flexed out in the history of and flexed out. Obviously, flexes have not been in play until the last couple of years, but it's because of how bad the Patriots are. That's the first time.
That's not awful.
And the Broncos turned into Sunday Night Football, by the way, because of that week. The Lions Broncos game turned into Sunday Night Football in Detroit. That is wild to me. Wild to me that they said, I don't want to watch fucking Patrick Mahomes beat up on a bunch of a team that doesn't give a fuck in the New England Patriots. I guess that's just how bad they are. But yeah, it is wild that they finally flexed out Monday Night Football game.
It hurts my heart to talk about this game. Makes me feel better that Joe Burrow did have a successful surgery and he's expected to make a full recovery, because that would have been, you know, just alcohol bath on top of the antidepressants that I'm going to need. But Jake Browning sucks. And I think there's a real chance that we see AJ McCarron play quarterback for the Bengals this week. But it's honestly not even on those two. You know who last week's loss is on? I told you last night. It's the coaching staff. I think this is where we're going to see whether or not this coaching staff sticks around, because how in the blue hell, when Joe Burrow goes down, how do you put together a game plan that sees you winning? You were up by 7, which against the Steelers is like being up by 3 touchdowns. No offense, but I'm trying to offend you, Rev. Why are we throwing 50 times? Why is Joe Mixon getting 15 touches? This pisses me off. There's no other explanation. This is like last year when you were watching Hackett call offensive plays. Like, we don't have the personnel. We don't. We have extra offensive linemen. We have extra tight ends. Run the damn ball.
I am all for giving a guy that has not played an NFL down a little bit confidence. But when you're fucking winning a football game,
that wasn't confidence.
But giving him a little bit, hey, get some throws out there, get some checkdowns, get going a little bit. But at some point in the game, you'll be like, yeah, let's just go to Joe Mixon. Let's move on from there. One of the biggest losses your team had this year, and I hate to be the guy to say this, but it's true, was Samaje Perine, because that gave another option to Joe Mixon. And obviously, they're keeping him on a snap count that he's not used to, and it's really affected them. It's really affected them. They become one-dimensional. And even when Joe Burrow was healthy, this team was airing the ball out every single week.
I thought we got rid of fucking Joe Brady, but apparently no.
Apparently not. I'm going to ride the Jaguars. I'm going to believe in the Jags. It's important for the Bengals to get this a game and give your guys something to try to fight for, because like it or not, yeah, your quarterback's not playing. You're still in the hunt. You're still 5-6. You're still one game technically out of the playoff right now. So you're still in that position. You win this football game, you'll still be one game out of the playoff spot. Plain and simple. You win this football game, you're still one game out of the playoff spot. Yeah, it's crazy to think about that, but you still are. And I think if Zach Taylor, he's, like you said perfectly, he's playing for his job right now. He's playing for his job. I don't think that they'd fire him without Trevor Burrow. They'd make him get rid of Anna Rumo and make him get rid of
Callahan.
They made two guys, funny enough, that were up for 7 different NFL head coaching jobs last year.
How good is Joe Burrow, and how good do we know that he is now? Because those three guys went from possibly the best coaching staff in the league to, oh my God, did these guys even know what the hell they're doing? In the span of a week. I'm not saying that I don't want the Bengals to win, because I do, but I'm picking against them because it's a smart decision. But I wore this to school today, and I wore it while I was coaching. I am still a believer. I mean, I've stuck with this team for so long. I've been through some shit years, some bad, bad years. And I'm going to stick with it, even though this seems to be another one of those bad years. Recap of the picks. You have the Titans, Broncos, Eagles, Chiefs, and Jaguars. I have the Colts, Texans, Eagles, Chiefs, and Jaguars. So we have those first two games of the weekend. That's where we're going to see our movement. Overall records, right now I'm sitting at 34-32. You are 38-28. That trivia boost is still there. I was about to come back from it, and now The last couple of weeks, you've turned it back around on me. I don't got anything else. You got anything else for the people?
I got one more thing. Look, we don't talk about the sport a lot on the show, but Jimmy and I are both very, very big fans of it. And you son of a bitch, you bet your ass. And you know where I'm going with this. Cult of Personality is fucking back in my ears, and I am watching wrestling again. I hate that it's during football season, it's during the Nuggets, during Avalanche season. I hate that because I'm finding myself fucking switching channels. Oh my god, it's Punk on. Oh my god, it's Punk on. Oh my god, what's the Nuggets score? Like I hate it. I hate it. I hate that I'm switching channels. But my god, my prime, like my love for WWE came from CM Punk, John Cena, and Triple H and those runs. Okay, is all I'm gonna say. That's where my love for wrestling came in. Hearing the Cult of Personality in a place that no one thought it'd ever happen again, and I mean no one would ever thought it'd happen again, is crazy. It's just crazy. I love every second of it. I don't know what they're gonna do. But you bet your ass I'm watching it, and seeing what's going to happen because, like I said, that's my childhood. There's very few things in the world that gives you that gives you your childhood back without like ruining it, right?
Like did I'm not ruin it.
They didn't really ruin it. And look, but like I'm not gonna get like it's crazy. I got Tobey Maguire back in Spider-Man. I got CM Punk back in the WWE. I have the Nuggets won a championship in a 2-year span. I don't know how much higher of a fucking peak I've got right now. The only thing that would make this better if I was in a relationship, which I'm not, unfortunately. So,
I think Cena's back, isn't he?
Cena's still wrestling, too. And the only thing that makes this better if it was Triple H and fucking Undertaker fighting, too, okay? And I don't think
Triple
those
H
two
– too old now.
They'll never fight again. So, it doesn't matter. No. But I'm all for it. And I know I wanted to wait until the very end because if you're a degenerate – and you've listened this all the way through, you know that we both love wrestling and both love that entertainment side, especially during the summer when neither of us want to fucking watch baseball.
I create WWE characters and I run simulation matches all the goddamn time.
Exactly.
All I do.
So you bet your ass that I'll be tuning in to CM Punk every week and watching the return of the prodigal son and the best in the world.
He's not the best in the world. Seth Rollins is going to kick his ass. I'm so happy. We're going to have to watch these pay-per-views together again. We haven't watched a pay-per-view together since Rollins cashed in his first Money in the Bank, which is a while ago now.
Long time ago.
Long ass.
We've watched, look, like I said, you're listening to two guys that, look, we don't talk about wrestling on this show. It's mostly because not many people fucking care anymore. And that's not our audience. But you bet your ass we care still.
Yeah, no, and Dom is all in too. He sent me like 4 different versions of the, it was a pop. But here's the thing. It was in Chicago. They knew they were going to get that big of a pop.
They knew what they were doing.
I really do think that Rollins and Punk are going to have a great match. But Phil, if you know anything about Phil Brooks, he's a total douche backstage.
Apparently, he's happy hugging, kissing babies.
That's what he said about AEW. And then a year and a half later, he was fighting some dude backstage.
It's a little different, though, when you return to a place that you were the man. Like you were the guy. AEW, you were something that it's like going to somewhere that's just you don't know anything about, and you're with a group that you've never worked with, and it's a place where he sees a lot of familiar faces, a lot of familiar people he's worked with over the years to be like, you know what, like I feel home, and I think that's the difference between the two. And don't get me wrong, look, WrestleMania Night 1 ending with Punk versus Rollins, WrestleMania Night 2 ending with Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. Sign me up for that shit, baby.
I'm going to be watching. And I was also really excited to see Randy Orton back.
I love Randy.
He was always the villain, but he's like my Jake the Snake. He's our generation's Jake the Snake, where he was always the most despicable person but he's so good. He came back after a year and a half and was the best performer in that match besides Rollins and Rhodes.
Look, people, there was different versions of Randy. There was yoked Randy, like pretty much like fucking too big Randy. There was skinny Randy. This is in between Randy. This is jacked and fucking lean. And he's got
a 12-pack.
He looks like he could go for another 10 years is all I'm going to say. So I love
his Randy. Wife is hot, too. Sorry, Raleigh.
Randy is doing a great thing, great things in this life.
I actually am probably more attracted to Randy, if we're going to be honest, Raleigh. So you don't even have to worry about that. It's the end of the show. Now you see what you did, Nico. See what you did. You brought up wrestling, and now it's
like I said, I gave people a warning. An hour 20 minutes in, I gave people a warning. That's all I'm going to say.
This is true. Thank you, everybody, very much for tuning in live. If you caught us, if you did not, or if you wanted to go back, check out one of the sections of the show at FEOTV Pod. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's going to be available on all audio platforms coming up here shortly once I get it downloaded and edited. Be sure to continue to tell people about the show. Leave 5-star ratings, reviews. It helps us out. If we get some more of those, we'll continue to read them out on the air. I know Rev and I missed last week, but Minds did move on. Colorado School Minds still going forward. So hopefully we're able to link up this week. If not, I'll give a quick Top of the Mountain episode and everything like that. Talking Gridiron Sunday. It's going to be all the same great things moving forward and on to, I mean, we're at the playoff stretch now. It's conference championship week. It's almost playoff football time. It's almost Christmas.
It's almost bowl season.
It's Christmas. So excited. All right. Thank you very much for myself, Jimmy Pilato, my co-host, Nico Bryant, episode 162 of the Far End of the Bench podcast. We will catch you guys next week.
Peace.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.